Before we dive into today's episode, I want to share an exciting opportunity with you. The Breaking Free Workshop will teach you a step-by-step guide to turn your passions into profit. Join us for a transformative experience where you'll learn how to smash through your career plateau with a personalized plan in 5 strategic steps, avoid common mistakes that could be holding you back, and identify critical actions for the next month to accelerate your progress toward your goals. Don't miss this opportunity to take control of your career destiny and create the lifestyle you desire. Your first workshop is free. Register now for the Breaking Free Workshop. Visit smashingtheplateau.com/workshops for all the details. That's smashingtheplateau.com/workshops.
So I've seen it a lot. I definitely see it now in my business coaching world. People have started businesses and now they're kind of stuck or they're having challenges and they need some additional help. I think my biggest piece of advice would be if you're considering doing something on your own, understand in our society now, everything comes quick. It's just not the way when you're building a business.
In today's episode, we have the pleasure of welcoming Tyler Martin, an experienced business coach, CPA, and corporate refugee. Tyler will be sharing his journey from leaving a promising career path as a CPA to forging his own path and facing the daunting challenge of staring at a white wall with no clients. He'll discuss how he went on to build and sell successful companies and now uses his hands-on experience to advise other business owners. Get ready to dive into Tyler's strategic approach to business growth, his tips on lead generation, and the poignant advice he offers to corporate refugees looking to control their own destiny. You won't want to miss the invaluable insights Tyler has to offer. So tune in and let's smash the plateau together. Now let's welcome Tyler Martin. Tyler is a business coach and CPA. He has a talent for growing businesses, taking a staffing firm from $25 million a year and building a CPA firm to 200 clients in just 5 years. What's special about Tyler is his own experience in business. He's more than a coach. He's built and sold successful companies himself. Focusing on service businesses making $1 to $15 million, Tyler uses real hands-on advice to help them grow. He's the perfect mentor for business owners looking to grow their business. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be on your show.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you. Tell me a little bit about like you and your career. Expand a little bit on the background of what I just shared.
Yeah. So when we use the phrase corporate refugee, I definitely can relate to that. So I started out my career becoming a CPA and working for a couple different CPA firms. One in particular, I was on path to become a partner and decided one day I just kind of wanted to go out, forge my own road. And so I left the firm and I opened a shop, for CPA firm shop, a little office, had no clients the first couple weeks as I was staring at a white wall with no clients and a laptop. I'll never forget this. It was one of the scariest decisions I ever made because the paycheck stopped coming in, yet now I was paying rent and utility bills and thinking about how I was going to make revenue. And from there, it just kind of all took off. And as you shared in my bio, I mean, I then went on to run that, sell that business ultimately. And then I built another business and that I was part of. I had a majority owner in that one and ultimately sold it. And so I've been blessed to have a couple real positive experiences after I've gone out on my own.
So you left on your own voluntarily, even though you were on partner track. That's incredible.
You know, and I didn't have the support of my family too, just as a little side note. So when I did it, incredible wasn't the word being used within my family. It was more of like, you're an idiot. This isn't the smartest move you've ever made. You're making really good money. You're about to make a lot better money. Why would you do this? And it just felt like the right thing. And I was fortunate because at that point in my career, I think doing things like that felt less risky than maybe if you were later in your career.
Yeah. How long did it take you until you actually started to see what felt like a sustainable revenue stream?
It's about 6 months.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it was really good. I was blessed in that I tried a little bit of a different approach. Back then, internet was starting to gain traction when I started this business. So I did Google Ads. The cost of Google Ads was pretty low. Even back then, Craigslist, believe it or not, was an option for building new clients. They had a professional forum in there. And so I just would get these leads from all different places. And in fact, it was the point where most of the clients weren't the right fit for what the firm I wanted to grow. So I would refer them to other practitioners, and I would kind of cherry pick the ones that matched my criteria of what I thought a good profile for my firm would be.
Yeah. It's one of the biggest challenges that I see many corporate refugees face, which is how do I generate leads, right? How do I generate leads of any kind? Forget about the ones that really fit the target profile that I'm aiming for. But yeah, just generating leads. And for many people, when you're in your professional track in corporate, whether it's a small business that you work for, or it's an enterprise or government or nonprofit, whatever the entity is, you're responsible for whatever it is you're responsible for. There's, you know, there's a team, there are other people to take care of the other things. And for many people, marketing and sales is not part of their portfolio. And even when marketing and sales is part of your portfolio, it's very different selling the company that pays you than selling yourself.
Right. Definitely true. And I think you have to pick the medium that fits you for marketing and sales. So, you know, a lot of times when you're a corporate refugee, we think of our network. So going out into your network and building a client base that way can be very effective for some people. But for some people, that isn't the right avenue for them for whatever reason. I know when I went out on my own, I didn't go into my own network. I literally started from scratch. And part of that was because I didn't want any non-compete issues. My network happened to overlap heavily with the firm I was leaving. And so I didn't go that route. And so I think part of it has to resonate with you know, what fits for you and what feels right. I know I've tried a variety of things, and I do very much enjoy referrals through my network. Having said that, I really do also like when people come outside of my network, because you really get introduced to some really fascinating situations and people that are outside of your spheres of influence. And I think that's fun. I think something I really enjoy.
Tyler, what are some really unexpected ways that new clients have found out about you?
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything crazy in terms of unexpected ways, but definitely, you know, through my podcast. I have a podcast that's, I'm always fascinated when people come through that medium, because they tend to know a little bit about me and sometimes even quote things I say in first meetings, which is always kind of a little bit of an interesting feeling. I did a group panel a couple weeks ago. And after I did it, I had like 5 people waiting to talk with me, which was felt really cool to have felt like a rock star there for a short amount of time. But then people called me up out of the blue and said, "Hey, I saw your presentation. I wanted to talk with you about it." So I don't know if there's anything really unique. It's just more, the more you put yourself out there is, you know, one thing that I'm always reminded of, the more opportunities seem to kind of find you.
Yeah. How do you balance what you're trying to achieve in terms of being proactive? Like, I'm trying to build this kind of business, this kind of business model. This is my target audience that I'm trying to reach, versus what you just said, which is these opportunities that somehow emerge as you're moving along the path.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, that's a great question. It's also it's a complex answer, because I struggle with this a lot. I definitely have, in my current world, I definitely have what my ideal profile is in terms of that I think I'm best suited for in terms of how I can help them. Having said that, a lot of times people find me that don't meet that profile, but I still want to be able to help them. And so it's a constant conflict with me. Truthfully, when I had the CPA firm, I think it was more black and white, and it was a lot easier for me to draw that line. I had a very set criteria. I find in the business coaching world, and I also do small business CFO services, I find it a little bit harder. There's shades of gray. And so I will find occasionally, David, where I take on things that I have to dial back and go, hey, calibrate. Those aren't things that are helping you reach your goals. And even though you want to help people, you got to figure out different ways to help people that don't involve taking up a lot of your time and not giving you kind of not meeting your objectives in terms of maybe earning goals and number of client goals of where I want to be at.
Yeah. So fast forward to today, can you describe a little bit about like what is your current business model? Who's your target? And how do you solve their problems?
Yeah. So when I first started out business coaching, I had a very wide net, I would say, in terms of I try to help a pretty wide range of people. And what I found when I was just doing strictly business coaching and trying to solve specific problems is it seemed to have a shorter life to it. It usually had like a 6 to 9 month ramp to it. And I'd just help them solve the problem. And usually then it'd convert to a monthly or quarterly or something like that. I've kind of morphed away from that a little bit more into more of a monthly relationship around looking at a business's finances as the leading drivers, and then using those leading drivers as targets that we want to build, that we want to hit as far as the company is concerned. So for example, let's just use this as an example. Company's a $1 million company. They want to become a $2 million company. Let's break that down into the different drivers financially that we need to hit in order to get there. And then from there, build objectives for the owner of the business to help them reach those goals. And those objectives it falls really back into the business coaching world. They can really almost be anything that falls under the veil of that corporation. It could be adding staff. It could be improving cash flow. It could be building processes and systems. So nowadays, I'm more in the area of these monthly relationships with clients and really a lot less clients than when I first took on business coaching. When I first took on business coaching, I had about 25 clients and I was seeing them weekly, give or take, not quite 25. And I was just overwhelmed. I mean, I was tired. It was all day appointments. It just would burn me out. And now I'm more under a twice a month to once a month type arrangement with my client. And I have about 15 clients. So it's a way different world that I'm trying to structure than when I first started out doing this.
Yeah. How did you figure out what business model would be suitable? Because clearly there's some trial and error in this, and you've ruled out some things that you either didn't work or you didn't like.
I think just, you know, my ultimate goal when I started this was very similar to how my second business was a staffing and recruiting firm. And I love the staffing model, which is very similar to the CPA model. It's recurring revenue. So it's, you place an engineer out in the marketplace for a client and you pretty much, you know, you get that recurring revenue as long as they're out there and they're performing services for the client. Well, that's really the model ultimately I envisioned. Long-term, provide good service, high value, high return for the client, and really focus around long-term relationships. Just like a CPA relationship. A lot of times you might have a client for 20 years, 25 years. What I'm trying to do in this small business CFO, business coaching world where I go with them, I'm along the path with them until that potentially they outgrow me. If a client gets big enough, it wouldn't make sense to have me as their advisor because they're going to have hopefully a leadership team of people that they can consult with. Yeah. And I would be less important.
How receptive do you find small businesses are to this particular model?
If it's the right company and the right owner, very receptive. I mean, it's a very easy cycle. As long as the trust for them is there, they have to believe in you as the individual and being able to meet their goals and what they're trying to accomplish. Now, having said that, I think there's many business owners where they might not see the value just because they're not at the point where either they're having enough challenges or they really understand the service. And I think that's one thing I could always do a better job at is communicating how the service works, why it would benefit them. And if I'm given a forum to do that, usually I'm really good at it, but it's, you know, if it's like an elevator pitch thing, it's kind of hard to get that across and in a very short conversation.
Yeah, I could see that. Are there some main points that you do get across when you're having a longer conversation?
Yeah, I think you have to first really understand the client or the prospective client, like what is not being met in their world, like to really understand that first before I can kind of get into how I think I can help them or what I'm going to identify. You know, if a client, so I'll give you an example. A client came to me about a month ago and they're doing about $4 million a year in revenue, reasonably profitable, doing about $500,000 to $1 million a year in revenue. Profit's been going down though a little bit. Cash has been dropping like crazy. They used to have about $700,000 in cash. They're now down to about 150. And they're like, hey, we don't understand why these diagnostics are happening. Like, it doesn't make sense to us. And we're getting worried. We're running out of cash. And so that's a really easy conversation because it's all numerical based. And it's just easy conversation. I mean, it's like I can go over their financials, walk them through and show them what's going on. And then we can start talking about how we can improve the situation. Other times people come to me and they'll be, you know, here's another real world story. Lady called me up. It was a Monday morning, wanted to talk to me. She lost her biggest client over the weekend and she was feeling at a low point. It was like, she was like, man, I just don't know what I'm doing wrong. A lot of times when people reach out to me, they're feeling a little insecure about running a business and are they making good decisions? And so they're looking for, to some degree, a confirmation, but also some wisdom maybe that they may not have had on their own and can shorten the curve of getting where they want to go. So that's like a real world one too. Like, you know, someone approaches you and just they've had something bad that's happened in their business and they're looking to see if maybe you can help either eliminate that or help them steer them so it doesn't happen again.
Yeah. What do you say to them if they're concerned about investing more money into something that is beginning to feel like a sinking ship? Because both of those two scenarios that you mentioned, like one is running out of cash, the other one has just, their revenue has just taken a big hit. I find that as much as business owners in that situation feel the pain and they know they need help, they're not going to be able to solve this on their own. Spending more money is not so easy.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, so in the case of the one that their cash was declining, you know, ironically, a big part of their leak was just owner distributions. So them taking money out of the business for their own projects, their own investments in other businesses or whatever. So that kind of it was kind of an easier fix in a sense that, hey, you know, if we take less money out of the business or we understand that this is how much profit we have, this is how much cash flow we have, if we're taking more than that out of the business, we're creating negative cash flow. And so just kind of going through that kind of had an easier conversation. Now, the tougher one is when you've got a business that is actually going in the wrong direction and potentially probably going to lead to bankruptcy. That's a harder conversation in terms of when do you tell them is the right time not to put more into the business. And you kind of have to do it very delicately and you have to understand the whole atmosphere of that business, like what's causing that. Is it, you know, is it a new sales problem? Is it a delivery problem? Is it a manager problem, an owner problem? Which, you know, sometimes it is, frankly. So it's kind of identifying that. And then, yeah, I mean, I've had those conversations. I've had several clients over the course of my career that you've had to have tough conversations about this is throwing, you know, good money after bad, or bad money at a, you know, in a losing effort. You might want to rethink this.
Yeah. How do you feel about having these kinds of intense conversations with clients all day long?
Well, fortunately, I don't have them all day long anymore. I couldn't do them all day long, truthfully, because it is draining mentally. When you're meeting with a client, you got to be on your A game. Like it's not like working a job. Whereas a job, you know, sometimes I'm wondering if you can relate to this, but when you have a job, you don't necessarily have to be on your A game at all times. Like there's periods where, for whatever reason, there's downtime or maybe just certain times during the day you have to be on your A game. But when you're, you know, representing clients and working with clients, you really do got to give them your best every minute you're in a meeting. So I couldn't do it all day. That's when I first did business coaching. That's how it was for me. And it was just exhausting. And a couple times I'd even find my mind wandering because fatigue of problem solving and thinking through things. And that's when I have now over the last few years changed where it's a lot less volume. But it's hard. You know, those conversations are hard. But honestly, that's why they hire me. Like, don't hire a business advisor if you're not really, you know, if you don't really want someone that's going to be open and honest about what they're seeing and their past experiences of where this will lead you. I think most clients want that honesty as much as it might not be great to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Tyler, where do you get support for what you do?
Good one. So this is where community comes in. So I have two different groups that I meet with regularly, small groups. So one has two other people, and then another one has, I think we're a group of five typically. So four other people that we meet with regularly. And they're kind of my regular community that I meet with that are doing things similar to me that we can kind of share when we get a problem. We share it in a private group forum. And that gives me an opportunity to think, see things from a different perspective. And then also just a chance to be able to connect. I mean, you and I had the conversation about elderly parents to start this. And the fact that, you know, you spent 5 minutes with me, just connecting with me, sharing your experiences that I'm now going through, that connection, just nothing beats it, right? When people are kind of on the same page about something, you can, I mean, it just, I don't know, it just takes you to a whole nother level in terms of the communication and the interaction and the understanding.
That is for sure. Reflecting back on where we started this conversation, I wondered if you could perhaps share one piece of advice for a corporate refugee who is at the early stages of that transition. You know, somebody in particular that may have 20 to 40 years of work experience under their belt, and they either leave voluntarily the way you did, or quite frequently there's been a, you know, business change and they've gotten pushed out, not for performance reasons, but, you know, they're still unemployed and they don't ever want to be employed again. They want to have their own, right? They want to be in control of their destiny. What's one piece of advice you'd have for them?
Yeah. So I've dealt with this a lot in my career. You know, when I had my own CPA firm, I had many HP Hewlett Packard refugees would come to me wanting to start a business. And sometimes they'd already have an idea in hand. Other times they'd be like, what am I going to do with the rest of my life type thing. So I've seen it a lot. I definitely see it now in my business coaching world. People have started businesses and now they're kind of stuck or they're having challenges and they need some additional help. I think my biggest piece of advice would be if you're considering doing something on your own, understand. So in our society now, everything comes quick, or it's supposed to, in theory. We think, you know, become millionaires overnight, it feels like. It's just not the way when you're building a business. Like, there's just a lot of challenges, a lot of unforeseen things happen. And I guess my advice would be just be prepared for that. I mean, prepared to have some cash set aside. Be prepared to, you know, maybe lose your star client or not even get your star client at first. I mean, just things go wrong. And so you have to be resilient and you have to be thinking with a longer window of time for things to see results. Now, hopefully you do get them faster, but if you don't kind of think with a longer lens, I think that's where a lot of people get in trouble because things don't happen fast enough as they think they should. And they either give up, quit, and or lose a lot of money in the process. So that would be probably my biggest piece of advice.
It's a good piece of advice. I like to say that a breakthrough is what somebody else notices after you've taken 1,000 tiny steps and pivots.
Right. That's a great way of saying it. Yeah.
Tyler, if somebody wants to go deeper with anything we've discussed today or access any of your resources, where's the best place for them to go?
Yeah, my website is thinktyler.com. That's thinktyler.com. And would love to chat with people. Or you could go to my LinkedIn. It also has the handle thinktyler.
Sounds great. Well, Tyler, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau, share a little bit about you and some of these great stories about some of the challenges you face and what you deal with. My guest today has been CFO for small and medium-sized businesses and financial business coach, Tyler Martin. Thank you, Tyler, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Making the leap from the corporate career track to entrepreneurial business ownership can be done more effectively when you follow a system. In our Breaking Free workshop, you'll learn the 5 steps to smash your plateau, craft a weekly progress plan, and avoid common mistakes. This workshop is for dreamers, risk takers, and those ready to accelerate their business journey. Your first workshop is free. Visit smashingtheplateau.com/workshops for details and to secure your spot in the next workshop. Don't miss out on this opportunity for a career transformation. That's smashingtheplateau.com/workshops. Join us on our next episode of Smashing the Plateau for more wisdom from industry leaders. Until then, keep striving, keep believing, and keep smashing.